Crosswalk Talk Radio is a production of Crosswalk Life, Inc. Join Carlotta Waldman for a prophetic worldview, end times news, and live prophetic ministry.
Declare it with me. This is the year of release, of favor, a jubilee year. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on us because the Lord has anointed us to proclaim good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and to release the prisoners from darkness, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. We say Jesus Christ is King of Kings. Jehovah God loves us with a perfect love and casts out all our fears. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to equip us. We are your ambassadors. We're your end times witnesses, complete in Christ, lacking nothing. We're Jehovah God's voice, His love, His power to others, and we release Jesus Christ, the fullness of the Godhead, to live through us.
Hallelujah. I'm Carlotta, and I am so glad you joined us tonight. I have asked a bunch of people to call in, including you, and share testimonies of how you believed God, trusted God, thanked God in the midst of what you would call negative circumstances, because the Bible says to thank God in all things. Now, this is not a teaching night, so I want to explain. It doesn't say thank God for all things, but it does say thank God in all things. Well, how can you do that? Well, it helps you to learn to believe what the Bible says, like that God is sovereign over all things. God is always in control. He promises in Romans 8, 28 and 29 to work everything together for our good if we love Him and are called according to His purposes, which is to be conformed to His image. And we have to really exercise our faith muscles to believe that Jesus always wins. He has given us the victory. And even when we are weak, He's made strong. And so when circumstances appear to be negative, you know, sometimes it's rough. Sometimes we have to believe that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And even if the worst happens, you know, that we'll be becoming more like Christ, be able to better release Christ to live through us in the meantime. So is His grace sufficient for every situation? If we trust Him, will He make it all work out for good, our good? Will He always exceed our faith, our imagination, what we can believe for and do far more abundantly? What do you believe? Well, I thought it might help some of you if you just heard from some of the listeners tonight and heard some true stories of what God did in their life. So I'm going to ask people to call in from the get-go. I've got a bunch of things that I can share, if we need me to. But we're going to share some true stories. Now, nobody's going to talk for 20 minutes, so don't worry. But we want to hear from a lot of people and just get encouraged, amen? Just get encouraged. There's a lot of darkness out there, but there's more light, amen? More light. Light always casts out darkness. Darkness never casts out light. So I'm going to call on area code 337, and I ask you just to give us your first name and city, please.
Well, this is Kurt. I'm from Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Okay, just a little bit louder so we can hear you. And do you have a testimony to share?
Yeah, sure.
Yes, welcome, Kurt.
Thank you, ma'am. I'll keep it brief. When I began to step out in faith, I remembered one time I kind of challenged the Lord. People say you can't do that. Well, I did. And I was sitting at a stop sign with my wife, and I said, God, you said that if I'd give, it'd be given unto me good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, that men would heap into my bosom. And I told the Lord, I haven't seen that. And so if this, if this is for me and this is real, which I knew it was, I said, I'm asking you to do something. The very next day, I went to church. So I think it was a Saturday night. I said that. The next morning, I went and I was getting ready to leave church to go home, and this lady walked up to me out in the parking lot, and she began to empty out her purse, and everything was falling on the ground, and she began to just give me money. I didn't really know her, and so God knows where we're at. And I want to tell the listeners that she said God told her, give him everything that's in your purse. And he was talking about money. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, the woman, I mean, she was not poor, believe me. She had financial means. And I was out of work due to a traffic accident that I'd gotten in. And so... you know, God will show you his faithfulness, but I've learned this one important key, and that's trusting, just being still. When your mind races fast, you try to figure out what you're going to do. All you're doing is you're putting a hold on what God wants to do. You have to rest. Mm-hmm. You have to just say, God, here it is. I trust you, and I'm going to keep my mind stayed on you. And when you make that conscious decision in your heart, that's when the miracles begin to flow. It's awesome. And
well, you know, sometimes when you need to rest, it's very, very hard, because that's when you're the most upset.
Well, that's very true, because you're looking at adverse circumstances. You know, you got all these circumstances, just like the wind blowing with Peter. Peter looked at the storm, and here he sees Jesus in a boat, and Jesus said, come. He said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. Well, what was Jesus supposed to say? No, it's not me. But he told him, said, come. And no doubt the wind was blowing. All the adverse effects of life were dictating something totally different than what Jesus said. And so Peter just took that simple step of faith. He chose to shut out what he was seeing with his natural man, his eyes. He saw the waves that were extremely violent. He saw the wind blowing. But you know what? He also saw the word that Jesus spoke. He heard it, but he saw it, and he stepped out in faith. And really, faith is not really a very difficult thing. It is, and it's not, because faith is standing in the midst of everything that's contrary to what God says. And that's when you have to choose. God, I choose to believe you. I choose to stand. I don't care. I know I've been standing, but I'm not turning loose of this thing that's in my heart to do, because God will give you the desires of your heart. And I just want to encourage the believers tonight is just stand in faith and give God thanks even in the midst of what you're going through, because the enemy hates that. He wants people to wail, complain, and throw their hands up, and you know, sometimes that happens, but that doesn't mean you're not in faith. That means that you have a natural man that's fighting the things of God. And if you slip, you stumble, just plant that shield of faith back up. So I'm not giving up. And this is what God said, and I possess it. I choose to receive it. I'm going through a similar thing right now. But you know what? God didn't bring me this far to lead me. He brought me this far that he could show me his glory. And that glory, I will release to other people. And woo-hoo. God's faithful to do what he said he'd do. God's looking for people that will trust him, that will give. And I've learned this one other thing, too, that God loves sacrificial giving. When you really can't afford, so to speak, to give, when you give and it costs you something, God loves that. And when we do that, God says, that's a person after my own heart, and I will do what they have asked me to do. And that's where the angels show up. Anyway, I wanted to wish everybody a wonderful Thanksgiving. Do not cast away your faith, but have a great recompense and reward. God's faithful. I guarantee you, I've been where many of you are. Carlotta knows a little bit about me. But you know what? I refuse to give up, refuse to quit, because I'm going to inherit the promises of God. Amen.
Well, we don't have another caller that wants to talk yet. If you have another story to share, please do.
Well, there's different types of giving. Of course, there's financial giving, and there's also giving of the gifts and the talents that God's placed within us. And I remember one time the Lord asked me to give a man a word, just a simple word. And a friend of mine, we went out to an island. They took us out by barge to this island. And they had a drilling rig on it, and we took our trucks. We were bringing fuel, and we offloaded. And after we finished, we went and sat in the office, and there was a Pentecostal guy. He was the company man who was over the whole site, and I was listening to him. He was discouraged, and the scripture says in Proverbs, a good word makes the heart glad. And so I listened to him. I didn't condemn him, didn't say anything. And after he finished talking, the Lord says, give him a word. I said, okay. And I called the man by name. I said, God told me to give you this word. He looked at me strange, and he said, okay. I said, you're going to get a phone call. And I said, this phone call is going to afford you to be home every night at the Shreveport, Louisiana field office, and you're also going to get a raise. Well, when I told him that, he looked at me like I had fallen off a stool and landed on my head. So we left, and we said goodbye. The next week, we went back again, same thing. Brought a load of fuel, went in his office, and as we were going to his office, he come flying out of the office. This guy's really huge, really tall, and he said, you are not going to believe this. He said, you remember what you told me? He said, no sooner than y'all left, my boss called me. And he said, oh, by the way, so I've been meaning to call you and tell you, you're getting a promotion. You're going to be home every night at the Shreveport field office. Oh, and by the way, you're getting a raise. And he slammed the phone down. Now, how in the world? Now, this guy, he loved gospel singing, and That was just something, it was his heart's desire. And God heard it. And God had to give him a word to let him know of what he wanted to do. And then God confirmed it and blew the man away. I mean, just that'll make you think. And I've seen it over and over. So there are many different types of giving. But many people today, they need to hear from God to confirm what they've already heard in their prayer time of in the Holy Spirit ministering life to them. And what it does, it reinforces that they're on the right track. And sometimes God may give wisdom in a process. And people are longing. They're longing for intimacy with God. And people are tired of the religious order, and religion is fine. I'm not a big critical, but when you try to follow rules and concepts instead of having an intimate relationship with God,
right?
It just it has no power. But when you have the relationship every day, spending time with God, even if it's just saying, God, I love you with all of my heart. With everything that's in me, I love and I cherish you. That is how you build a relationship with God. And by meditating upon the word, you begin to know the way God thinks. And the religious mind says, well, God doesn't want to do that for you. And, you know, you that's God's not interested in that. But I would like for you to look at Romans 8 just real quick. And these scriptures have helped me through some tough times. It's Romans 8:31. It says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Now listen, "He who did not spare his own son, but he delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Yeah. And in Romans, it also says that all the promises of God are yes and amen. He wants you to have it. If it's in your heart, if it's a good thing, he wants you to have it. He wants you whole. He wants you blessed. He wants you joyful. And the enemy is going to come to try to show otherwise. But that's where simple childlike faith, when you rest in God, say, "You know what? I choose to believe you and what I'm seeing. And I want to know you, Jesus, in a far greater mode than what I know you now." And it's a continual thing. And you know, God wants to do for you more than you do. I put today on Facebook about sin. And I'm not here to really bad the people about sin. But the enemy comes to bring roadblocks into our lives. He gets us into little petty sins that don't seem to be a whole bunch. But you have to get to the point where you say, "You know what? I'm done. This stuff is over." And once you release it, you get so righteously upset and angry and say, "You know what? I'm done with all this." That's when God releases what he has for you. Because sin is like a block, it's just like a plugged up pipe. It stops that divine flow. And it's not that God doesn't want to bless us. That's not it at all. Because even if we still struggle with certain things in our lives, God is so faithful. He's such a perfect father that he stays with us and is encouraging us and leading us to step into a higher realm of him. And amen. In my life, I had to come to the point, say, "You know what, I'm done with all this." There was just little things, just little foxes that would rob the vine. But it's something to God. See, he wants eventually, you have to let it go. You can't hold on to it, because when you hold on to sin like I did, you open up an avenue for the enemy to come in and he'll wreak havoc. The Bible says that sin, a curse doesn't come without a cause. There's a reason why things happen. And so we have to examine ourselves, not in condemnation, but look at ourselves. And I had a lady told me today through Facebook, she said, "Well, I'm asking God to show me if there's anything there." And my reply was, "Well, you already know." Because when I would ask God, "What's the problem?" He would spiritually point his finger and say, "That. I want that," because God wanted to take it out so he could put something greater in me. And it's the same way with all your listeners right now. God wants to bless his people to such a degree. But there's a divine transfer that has to take place. And the scripture says that we're to offer ourselves up as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is our reasonable service. God loves sacrifice. And what you do is when you have something that you truly love, but you know you shouldn't have it, when you offer to God, say, "God, I'm sacrificing. I like this thing. I enjoy this. But I'm giving it to you because I want all that you have." Oh, that's faith in its most raw form. Because God loves a challenge. He loves to see people say, "You know what, God, I told God, so I want all of you. I want everything you are. And I'm not going to let anything come and stop me from walking in my destiny. Nothing. There's nothing important, nothing so important that you allow it to interfere with your destiny and what God created you to be. God's so awesome. But you know what? He's faithful. Even when we just continue to goof off, he still loves us because he's the perfect father. He's a perfect example of what we should be. I just want to encourage your listeners tonight, if there's anything, anything in your life, step aside from this radio program, get on your knees, say, God, I'm done with this. And when you get, when you say, I've had enough, I'm not letting this control me, I'm not going to let this stop me from that divine flow, that divine love relationship, that fellowship, I'm not going to let anything rob me. I'm not going to let it rob my family. And I'm going to tell you what, when you make that decision in your heart, it's going to change. It has to change because God watches over his word to perform every word. And just because you don't see it when you want, just because you don't see it when it's supposed to show up, does not mean no. God's testing your faith. He's testing your faith.
Well, thank you.
I know.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you.
I love you, love your husband. I love all your listeners.
I want to agree with every bit of that. See, Prophet Kirk, he's already given the altar call at the beginning of the program. I was sitting here thinking, well, after that message, all I need to say was, will everybody stand to their feet and close their eyes and come to the altar if you need to repent. But he already did that too. He asked you to get on your knees. But I believe he's right that we need to be in the Word so that we can believe God's promises. We also need to allow him to put his finger on anything in our lives that makes it hard for us to believe him when circumstances look rough, when things seem to be going negative and doubt begins to come in. But sometimes it's not just doubt of God's word. Sometimes it's self-condemnation, you know, that we think, well, God's punishing me, or he's not going to take care of me because I have unconfessed sin in my life. So you've already covered it all, Prophet Kirk. Hallelujah.
Stand fast. I have a word for the listeners. The Lord says, do you trust me?
Okay, a little bit louder.
Do you really?
A little bit louder.
The Lord says, do you trust me? For I desire to give you more than you desire. But the Lord says, there are some listening tonight. You said, Lord, what's the problem? The Lord says, you haven't given me everything. The Lord says, you are mine, but you are holding back from me. And did I not say in my word to lay aside the sin and the weights that so easily beset you? The Lord says, there are nothing but weights to drag you down. But the Lord says, you have the power to repent. And when you repent, surely it'll fall off. And the Lord says, come to me. Go ahead, come. Come and I will accept you and I will bless you and I will love you as a father loves his child. The Lord says, some of you have great things in store, but the Lord says, you're holding back. The Lord says, don't hold back. Release it. Let it go. And the Lord says, know this, that I desire to do greater in you than you could ever ask or think. According to the power that works in you, the Lord says, this is the time of thanksgiving. The Lord says, be thankful in all things and pray. And the Lord says, rejoice, for your turnaround is at hand, says the Spirit of the Lord.
Woo-hoo. Turn around. You don't even know that we have a song at our church that Pastor Dean Mitchum wrote, I think, called Turn It Around. Believe in God to turn it around. That's what we're talking about tonight. Having that gratitude for what God has done in the past, having a thankful attitude for what he's going to do even in the midst of what looks like negative circumstances now. Turn it around, Lord. Amen.
Carlotta, I wish all Amen. You and all your listeners a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Well, Prophet Kurt, I just see you standing there like a samurai warrior. And not everybody may understand, you know, when they might have a samurai warrior in front of them and not even know it. But when that samurai warrior is called to action, they know, because it only takes two swipes with his sword. I mean, he may get them from shoulder to hip and then off with their head, but he's trained. He knows what he can do. He's confident. And the Lord says, I've built that training into you. I've given you a knowing of what I can do through you. And I've been building a confidence in you that you know that when you swing the sword, it is always effective. It never comes back void. And it may you may not see the result, the desired effect, exactly when you want to see it. But you also know that you can trust my timing. And an excellent warrior waits for the right moment. Waits for the right moment.
Amen.
And the Lord says, I'm going to make a promise to you tonight, again, that you will thank me for my timing. You'll see the wisdom of it. You'll be glad. And you'll thank me for my timing because you have said, if I had chosen the timing, the blessing would not have been as good as if God chose the timing.
Yes.
Amen?
That's a true word. True word. Thank Woo-hoo! You.
So back Whoa. Off, enemy. You've got a samurai warrior here. Amen.
Awesome. I received that word. You all
right.
have a
well,
blessed
thank you.
Night.
I hope you... Hope you do too, and hope you call in more often. That was wonderful.
I will do that. I will do that.
Okay.
Thank you for
bless
having
you,
me.
Bless you. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Now, I know that's hard to top, but we're not in a contest. Amen. I want people to call in tonight and share true stories, their own testimonies of times when they were in difficult circumstances or maybe a challenge or they had a mountain in front of them or a financial challenge or something that was more than they could handle, maybe difficult to believe God, but you chose to give thanks in all things and God intervened or God provided or God made a way where there was no way. Amen. So I want you to call 917-388-4683. 917-388-4683. And I'll give you an opportunity to share your true story. Now, you don't have to preach a sermon, too, like Prophet Kurt did, but certainly make any point that God wants you to make. Let us know what you learned. Amen. Let us know what God was teaching you in your life. Hallelujah. I'll share a couple stories while we're waiting, but I really don't plan to teach tonight. And a lot of mine are just personal stories, and so I hope it doesn't embarrass you. It's just my life. My life has had a lot of ups and downs in it, and some successful times and not so successful times, amen? And I had to learn to trust God through it all, through it all. One of the earliest stories that I have that I'd like to share is a little bit personal. Hope I don't embarrass you all because it's about growing up as a young woman. But sometimes we learn to hear God best in the middle of negative circumstances or lack or scarcity or something where we are driven to God. Amen. And when I was 20 years old, I didn't know anything about hearing God's voice. I was part of a denomination that didn't teach that at all. But I had a need because I had been practicing with a drama team at our church for weeks to go on tour to share a play. And I was trying to think, it was a musical performance. I think it was called Tell It Like It Is. But you had to have some money to pay a little bit, at least towards your way, to go on this tour. And we were going across several states. And I was with my prayer partner, who had no idea of what I was about to say. Nobody in the human world knew what I was about to say, but I told her, I said, I've practiced and I'm prepared to go on this tour, but I don't have the money that I have to have. And I said, but I believe that God's going to provide it, and it'll be as easy as I'll flip open my Bible and there it'll be. And I just flipped it open in front of her, and the money was there, down to the penny. Now, here's the thing. She had no way of knowing that I would say that. I mean, if she had provided it later, I would know that she did it because I told her I was believing for so much money. But she had no way of knowing I would say that, or that I would flip open my Bible and there it would be. And there it was. And God was teaching me a couple of things. He was teaching me to believe him to provide for what he wanted to do through me. He was also teaching me to declare it. Because when I said it out loud to someone, it came to me to say, it'll be as easy as it flipping open my Bible. And there it was. And there it was. And so God was establishing something in my life. And he might do that with you. He might do that with your children, to teach you to not only believe, but to declare something. The other example I want to share from that same age, about age 20, is kind of personal, but we'll just pretend we're all adults here. I was kind of having a little personal time with God, and I was complaining because I was 20 years old and only weighed 100 pounds, was 5'7", and had no figure. I was all bone structure. Just all bone structure. And I just cried out to God, realizing if I'm 20, I may never bloom. And I was just a little sad about it. And so, again, God had taught me, this is something between me and God. Maybe it doesn't work for you, but it works for me. He had taught me to open the Word and read wherever I opened it to. And I opened up to Song of Solomon. And you may not know about this verse. I didn't. But there's a verse there that says, what shall we do for our little sister? For she hath no breast. Shall we build a wall for her? And I bust out laughing. I did not know that there was a verse in the Bible where somebody was concerned about their little sister because that she had no figure either. And I just bust out laughing. And I'd like to tell you that I suddenly had a figure in the next moment. I didn't. I remained bony and 100 pounds for many more years. But God taught me that he hears my thoughts. He hears my sadness. He hears my concerns and my hurts. That he wasn't oblivious to us. And he answered me right then and there and saying, I hear you. I don't know what building a wall would have done to help me, but he heard me. That was the main thing that we all need when we're facing something. Isn't that right? We need to know that God hears us. He hears us. And sometimes, my next example is he's hearing what's going on, but we don't even have to ask him to do anything because he's a God of justice, and he hears what's going on. And this next example is an example of when I didn't know it. I wasn't present when he did it, but a friend of mine heard someone curse me out loud, and not just with four-letter words. He cursed me, and he said that he hoped that I would be in a car accident and die. So I didn't even hear this, so I didn't have a chance to get mad or resentful or to argue or anything. And then that person that put that curse on me, who would have called himself a good denominational person, he would never own up to what I'm saying, that was cursing me, but it was. That person that said that over me, that he wished I'd be in a car accident and die. He was in a car accident, and he did get some injuries, not fatal, not terrible, but enough to really mess up his skin. And then my friend that had heard him said it, passed it on to me after that and say, I guess he learned to be careful what he says over other people. So in that case, God knew about a negative circumstance that was spoken over me and did something about it. To teach both of us, he taught me that God is watching out for us, and when people are cursing us, he's watching out for us. And if he feels it suitable, he can reverse the curse onto the person that said it over us and take care of all that without us even having to know about it. So I want you all to be grateful. Just express your gratitude to God that sometimes he has intervened on your behalf and protected you, and also restrained the hand of the enemy without you even knowing anything about it. So we need to be thankful and have hearts of gratitude. Amen. Now, I don't plan to teach tonight, so somebody please call in 917-388-4683. 917-388-4683. I do have some more stories, but I think the show would be so rich if you all would share. I'm trying to think what to share next. Sometimes, in the midst of our negative circumstances, we're a blessing to other people. And then God blesses us as well. I've been through a lot of things in my lifetime, and I've learned a lot the hard way. And I've learned how to minister to others out of my own sorrow at times. And there was a period in my life when someone abandoned me 4 times, just every 6 months. They just abandoned me and disappear and not say goodbye or anything. And it was a lot on me. It was a lot because of the relationship loss. It was a lot because of the financial problems. It was just a lot. And for it to happen over and over. And I really love this person. But God showed me during those times, because I didn't know at first it would happen every 6 months. I mean, I was devastated the first time it happened. God showed me that he would be my joy and my peace, no matter what. And what I wanted to share with you tonight is sometimes when you're going through what you would call a negative circumstances, and maybe anybody would call it that, like this, that when you're in that tight situation and you have to trust God, he can flood you with a joy and with a peace anyway. He can intervene inside your own heart and just fill it with joy and peace, even though it appears to be a negative situation. And then you have a double blessing. That's what I wanted to say tonight. I wanted to thank those of you that may be listening that knew that I could have been depressed. I could have been angry, and I could have been bitter. I could have been a lot of things. But they noticed the joy and the peace. And so they were a blessing to me because they affirmed to me that I was walking with the Lord and in the Spirit anyway. And they affirmed that I was a blessing. And so it kind of made it worth it all. It kind of made it worth it all to know that God was not only working it out for good in my life, but to bless others as well. Amen. Amen. Another one would be similar to that. When someone, I'm not going to give you all the juicy details, but when someone divorced me and never even told me the court date, it was really kind of illegal, I think. I was not notified of a court date I didn't even get the opportunity to be in court. And so I was not only divorced and rejected and abandoned and all that, but they didn't even give me a chance to be there. Now, a lot of you know that in divorce court, sometimes you cannot keep them from divorcing you, but it's still illegal for you not to even be notified. And you know what God did? He began to fill me with His love for me, because I had not only been rejected and abandoned and just left out of the whole process, but He began to fill me with His love for me. And I can honestly tell you that it was a very unique, very special 9 months of my life after that happened to me. You know, everybody who either gets a divorce or is forced to be divorced needs love and support and ministry, no matter what the story is, you know. But I want you to know that I asked God to fill me with His love, and He did. I felt the Father's love. I felt His love as being my husband, you know, after that. Like I had never, ever come close to feeling it before. I always look back to that time as having an awareness of just being in Father's lap, Father's arms, receiving Father's love like I had never, never, ever felt it before. I also have some stories that are like, kind of like Prophet Kurtz on finances. I liked what he said about sacrificial giving. And sometimes God does lead us to sow a seed. And I'm not saying that I do this every time somebody from the pulpit says that we should sow a seed or we should give sacrificially. But this day I knew that I was supposed to. And I was under some duress personally in my financial life, because it was like January, and the following August, I wanted to enroll to go to ministry training school. I wanted to resign from a nursing job and go to ministry training school at Christian International. And, of course, my daughter would have graduated, and she needed to go to college, and I had no money for either one, okay? So this is major. She wanted to go to a university in Tennessee that had real tuition, you know, and I wanted to go to mystery training school, and I felt like it was both of God, but I had no money. And so when they asked for that sacrificial offering, I said, well, God, I'll give you what I've got. And I gave my last $100. That's checking, savings, and everything, okay? Gave my last $100. And then I just went ahead and took my daughter to, you know, how you tour the campus of the college beforehand to make sure if you want to go there, they show you the grounds and give you an idea of scheduling and tuition and everything. And we went. But they said that my daughter did not qualify for a scholarship because at that point, I was still technically married. And they would include his income, which wasn't a lot, but they would include that. It would be just enough to keep her from qualifying for a scholarship. So on the way home, I'm crying because I don't see how either one of us are going to go to school, but I know God wants us to. And I told her father about it, my first husband. Told her father about it, and he said not to worry, that he would pay for all of her college. Now, here's what I want to share with you. God had impressed upon me the story in Mark 17, where the disciples are talking with Jesus, and he's talking about laying everything down for the kingdom's sake, and especially if you lay down houses and lands and family. So, I had been meditating on those scriptures and believing. And what happened was when I gave that $100, I was believing for a hundredfold return. Now, some people think a hundredfold is 100 times, and that's a lot of money. 100 times 100. But a hundredfold, technically, is actually way more than that. But anyway, I was believing. And within, in less than 30 days, her father said he would pay for all of her college. And that was like $10,000 or so, just for that year, I think. And there it was. God had already done it. He had already multiplied that seed at least 100 times. Amen. I didn't see that coming, but God had apparently put it in his heart to do. He didn't have to do it, but he put it in his heart to do it. Hallelujah. I want you all to call with your stories now. If you'll please call 917-388-4683. 917-388-4683. I mean, I can share a few more, but it'll be so much more interesting if we hear from you too. Hallelujah. You'll be a great encouragement to me. Sometimes things look negative and like maybe somebody even means it to be negative. Like Joseph said, you meant it for evil, but God turned it around for good. That happened to me when I was working as a nurse. About 1995 or 1996, I was the admission nurse for a large hospital in Atlanta. And I had a schedule that I liked. And I was particular about it because there was only two of us in that spot and we had to share the same spot. And so what we did was I would work half of the week and she would work half the week. And that, like if I worked Thursday and Friday and Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday, then I would have a whole week off. Then I'd come back Thursday and Friday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And we loved our schedule because we not only had every weekend off, but we had a whole week off at it every other week. So we had that going fine for years until we got a new boss. And this new boss had it in for me, and she decided she was going to mess that up. And I don't think I'm being judgmental. I think it was obvious to everyone. She didn't have to mess it up. She just wanted to. And so she changed it from me working Monday to Friday and then off and Monday to Friday, which some people would say, well, that's just as good, but it wasn't for other reasons. I won't go into it. When she changed my schedule from Monday to Friday, little did she know that although she meant it for evil, God was working it out for good. Because the particular week that I was going to have the whole week off, Monday through Friday, was a week that I wanted to go to the International Gathering of the Apostles and Prophets in Christian International. And I didn't know how I was going to go because I never had more than half a week off as far as the weekdays. And she changed it at just the right time. The only week that she changed out of that year was the week that I needed it changed. I had not put in a request, and she changed it. And so sometimes we give thanks because God has worked everything out for our good before we even knew, before we even asked, even when other people didn't want it to work out for our good. Amen? If you've got stories like this, please call in because it is such an encouragement to us. There was later that year, there was some chaos that was arising at work, and I'm not going to get into it. You've probably had chaos at work too, so I won't tell you that whole story, but just know when relationships get all mixed up and people are hurting each other, and there's some chaos at work, and I had not planned on resigning in order to move and go to school until like August, but there was so much chaos at work at the end of May that I decided, you know what, I've got a house to sell and equity and I will be able to afford to quit now. I just don't have to do this any longer. I've been doing it for 7 or 8 years. And I believe that God was kind of nudging me out of that job to go ahead and quit. You know, sometimes God will release you from negative circumstances before you're sure. You're like, well, I don't want to just run. You know, I want to do it in God's timing, be in his will. And so he let all this chaos happen at work. And some of you, God has wanted to reposition you, and he's going to practically have to kick you out of that job with the chaos before you'll be sure that it's God. And so this story may be a witness to somebody that's listening. So I went ahead and resigned. But what I didn't realize is when I put my house up for sale on owners.com. Now, some of you know that I seldom ever use a realtor. I've bought and sold a lot of houses, but I just believe God will sell it for you. And if it's his timing price, that he will sell it for you. And then you don't have to pay anyone else. Bless the realtors, God, but you bless, apparently he's going to bless them through somebody else because he wants me to believe that he will sell a house. So the chaos caused me to resign, or to feel free to go ahead and resign. I put the house on owners.com. It sold within 5 days. So I really hadn't planned on moving in June. So I began to communicate with Christian International real quick, and they told me who I could buy a mobile home from and put it on campus, live right on campus. And by the middle of June, I had packed up and moved and left Georgia and was a student at Christian International. And God worked it all out. But see, it started with what looked like negative circumstances, trouble at work. And it was kind of sad because I'd rather leave work as a hero, you know, but sometimes God just has to nudge you out, make it so uncomfortable in the nest that you'll begin to fly. And that's what happened. I just decided to fly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are other circumstances that God used to get me into school, too. I really wanted to go to Elijah House School, where I learned more about prayer counseling ministry. But it was in Idaho Falls, and it was just too far away and too expensive. And I had my daughter at home, and then by the time I thought I had the money from selling my house so that I could go to school. Then I had married and my husband had said, no, I couldn't go. So there were about five times that I had wanted to go to school and it had not worked out for me. And some of you know that, I've already said it too, that I'm going to make a real long story short. He dumped me basically in Thomaston, Georgia. And I thought we were moving there together, and then he disappeared, just literally disappeared, and he dumped me there. And it looked like a very negative circumstance. It's one of those things that's embarrassing, it's difficult, it's painful, it's heartbreaking, all of that. And I'm telling you this story because what my ex-husband didn't know was he dumped me 35 minutes from Elijah House School in Griffin, Georgia. So it was, they had different locations for these Elijah House prayer ministry schools. And he dumped me just 35 minutes from there. So the apartment that I had taken, thinking we were both going to live there, and we didn't. But it was in an easy drive from this Elijah House school, and I got to go to school. Hallelujah. I'd like to say he came back. He never did. But God trained me, and this is the tender father heart of God. Not only did he train me there, but because all of the prayers and the lessons that we studied in that first year of the Elijah House school there, we would get in small groups and pray for each other. And so I had the cream of the crop people praying for me as I dealt with this fact that I had just been deserted. You know, I had just been abandoned. I had, you know, I'm not going to go into all the dirt, but it was very hard time, very embarrassing time. But I was among other ministers that ministered to me for months. That's the beauty of God, how God orchestrates our life. Just so beautiful. And tonight I'm just encouraging us to embrace this person. 1 Thessalonians 5, you know, about thanking him in everything, in all things. It doesn't say that I have to be thankful for being dumped specifically. You know, it doesn't say that. He says in everything. So during that time, I chose to be thankful in everything and to believe that God works all things out for our good, to conform us to his image. You know, if we love him and are called according to his purpose in Romans 8, 28 and 29. And so this might be a new thought to some of you. Others, you've been through tough, tough times in your life, and you can't imagine doing this, but you can say, God, help me. Help me understand how to trust you to work everything out for my good, because I love you and I'm called according to your purpose. I want you to conform me to your image, God, okay? I had a lot of issues with men over the years. And so when I moved to Christian International, there I am surrounded by about, 26 families maybe of prophets. And I was already intimidated and dealing with low self-esteem and not much self-worth and all, because I had had a rough life and I had been like the woman at the well, making big mistakes over and over. And here God calls me to live among the prophets, and I didn't have any idea that I was one. I just thought I was a problem. And you know what God did? How he worked that out for good? I needed men to help me because I had a brand new mobile home sitting in the middle of a lot of sugar sand, and I didn't have a spigot. I didn't have even a TV antenna. I needed things unloaded from my truck. I needed things put together. And so God put me in a place where I needed men. But I didn't know who I was going to call. I thought I'd have to hire people for days to help me. And what God did was we drove in the moving van about 3:30 in the morning. I slept for a couple hours. Then I had to go to Panama City and finish paying for the mobile home. And then when I came back, of all things, all of the men in the Christian International admin offices had left their desk in the middle of a hot June 14th and had gone into my truck, which apparently I had left unlocked, and into my new mobile home. And they had prophetically unloaded every piece of furniture there, put everything, as far as the furniture, in the right place. We still had to do the boxes. They were so hot in the Florida sun that they were slinging sweat all over my furniture. But God began to heal me through those men. In a circumstance that looked insurmountable to me, because I couldn't unload a truck. I didn't know anybody there. I couldn't carry things in. I couldn't put things together. I didn't know how to set up a spigot or get on the roof to do a TV antenna or how to put furniture together or any of that. God kept sending these prophets to my house to serve me, one after another, till they had done about 19 jobs for me that ordinarily I would have had to pay somebody to help me do all that. And God will take a circumstance that looks like lack or scarcity or your complete inability, complete lack of resources, and turn it around so that you are grateful for the rest of your life of how God has supplied far more abundantly than you thought. Amen. Amen. There was another time. I'm kind of taking these in chronological order, but there was another time when someone decided, I mean, the devil just really got into them in many ways, but among their other ways of being demonized, they decided they were going to kill me. And all I'm going to say about that is they tried to kill me 6 times in 1 month. And so even though I had just spent a year training someone to be my partner, we had just picked out the best office that we could find in that little town to have for ministry counseling offices. Even though we had just set all this up and was ready to launch our little ministry, this person ran me out of town, because at first I just stood and believed God. But after they tried to kill me twice a week, about 4 weeks in a row, I began to realize they didn't have anything to do but think about killing me. So I left town and I went to Tallahassee. But listen to how God worked it out for good. So I had to move expenses. I had to give up my apartment that I had decorated and everything. I arrive in Tallahassee with no place to go, and I stay with a friend of a friend. Praise God for that. But little did I know that almost immediately I would be invited to teach for 9 months straight at a church there. I taught Tearing Down Strongholds, and then I taught the Elijah House School, like I had gone to recently, was a certified facilitator for that. And because I was teaching at that church, then that pastor recommended me to teach at the Tallahassee Christian College and Training Center, is its current name now. And I began to teach there off and on for the next 15 years. So little did I know that God used the evil that was in that man's heart to drive me out of town, to get me in Tallahassee, where I would teach at a couple of churches, actually, in 7 different counties, and in Bible college off and on for the next 15 years. A very good experience for me. In fact, they let me barter for my master's degree there, to see how all that worked out good in a major way. Not just a small thing. I'm not just saying my faith increased, but I've got nothing to show for it. I have plenty to show for it, because God really works things out for good. So, Father, we just repent of any way that we've doubted that verse, any way that we have thought the devil's in control, or that God doesn't pay attention, or he doesn't care. We just repent, Lord. We just repent of all the doubt, fear, and unbelief that may have been our hearts. We renounce it and ask you to forgive us and remove it. Amen. I sure wish y'all would call, give me a chance to take a little swig of juice. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's 917-388-4683. 917-388-4683. And all you do is push that number 1. If you think you've pushed number 1, you haven't, because that's why I'm still asking for people to push it. You just push that number 1, then I know you've got something to share. I've told you all the story before, in fact, recently, I think, about Ungodly Soul Test, about when my high school sweetheart appeared in my doorway. And I was divorced and available, and I thought I was finally going to get the love I had always wanted. And we were going to get back together. It was going to be perfect like it was before. But then I found out that he had not only grown apart from the faith we had known, he just wasn't the type of man that I would want to date. And I had to go through that brokenheartedness again. But what I may not have told you before, that God worked this out for good too. I mean, I teared up every day for about 5 weeks. It was a true brokenhearted situation for me. It was terrible. But here's the thing. 2 weeks after that is when I met Lewis Waldman. See? And if I hadn't been believing God to work this out and to heal my grief and heal my broken heart, and hadn't been believing that God had a better plan for my life, I might not have ever noticed Lewis Waldman. And he's been my wonderful husband now for, what is it, 16 years? Almost, maybe 16 next spring. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When we obey God, we don't lower our standards so that we can be married, and we wait for a truly spiritual person who is truly called to similar things that we are, God will work it all out for good. Amen. 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 Let's just have a little break here. And I really wanted to go ahead and play Christmas music tonight. I know you probably think that was weird. But let's just invite the Lord. Invite the Lord to visit us and to speak to us tonight, to bring to your remembrance times when he has intervened and turned things around, times when you ask him for a divine reversal and he did reverse situations and brought you undeserved favor. Times when you needed to hear his voice, you were desperate for it, and he did visit you and you did hear it. Amen. So let's just listen to Terry McCallum sing Visit Us. And that'll be our prayer. We thank you, Lord. Okay, pray for my studio because it appears to be stuck. And there's no volume on this. Oh, dear. Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to ask my husband if he does hear the music, and it's just me that doesn't, if he'll come in and tell me. I don't hear a thing. I'm so sorry. It's internet trouble. I'm sorry. I don't know what's causing that. It just appears to be stuck. And now I'm beginning to wonder if my whole switchboard is stuck, and that's why I don't have callers, because this is so unusual. Lou, would you come in here, please? Because I'm wondering if this program is transmitting. So please come in here, Lou. Thank you, Lord. Story that we had was when we had a house that didn't sell. And this is very unusual for us because usually when God told me to sell a house, it would sell within a week or 30 days at the most. So it's very unusual for us to have a house on the market. And it didn't sell month after month after month. And then a year went by. And then it was almost a year and a half before we had a buyer. Very unusual. And this house was on some water here in Florida. So I'll tell you how God worked that out for good in several ways. One was, by the time we had the buyer, just happened to be the same time that our kids had decided they were going to move up near my son-in-law's parents in West Virginia. So they were looking for a place in the Ohio, West Virginia area. And if the house had sold sooner than that, we would have bought something in the local area and would have missed going up north with them. And it was great because we were able to spend 8 years up north closer to them when both babies were young, and all those great years when the babies are little. Hallelujah. I have another story to go with that too. Sometimes God lets you be in negative circumstances so that you can take a stand of faith and declare something and prophetically and let other people see how it works out. So when that house did sell and we had a buyer and we were all supposed to meet with the title company for the closing, our buyer didn't show up. Very unusual because this buyer was not only a realtor but worked for a real estate attorney. And they said that there was a glitch in her loan and she had been turned down at the very last minute. And I thought, how could that be? She knows all about real estate and closing. And so I felt like God was telling me to make a declaration. And so I asked them if it would do any harm if we went ahead and signed the papers. And they said no, because nobody's here with any money to buy it, but you can sign them if you want to. So we signed the papers, and I declared that this closing will go through in the morning. And they said, well, that's impossible because they have to get a new appraisal and all this. And it takes forever at the beach to get appraisal. So I said, nope, it's going to go through in the morning. We're going to go ahead and leave because our two moving vans have already gone with our house and furniture and office furniture. And we're going to leave. And by the time we get in Alabama, so far in Alabama, you'll be calling me to tell me everything's okay. And they just looked at me like I was stark raving mad. But we did. We slept in our empty house, or my husband did anyway. And we took off the next day because all we had was an empty house there anyway. And we went to Ohio. And by the time we got to that point in Alabama, they did call me and they did say the closing has gone through. And the reason the closing could go through was she knew how to do things, I guess. And she got an appraiser to come at 8:15 in the morning and had them a fresh appraisal that they could work with. And by 10-something that morning, that closing went through. That is a miracle on top of a miracle. That is a real miracle. If anybody that's tried to get a loan knows that you don't get them within hours. I mean, you're doing good if you've got cash to buy a house to get it done in hours. But that wasn't all. Still working things out on her behalf, even though it looked very negative. We still had to give thanks in all things when we got to the next place, because when we got to Ohio and we wanted to close on purchasing the next house, the seller wasn't there. And they didn't bring the deed. They didn't send it by wire or FedEx it, I mean. And so they said we couldn't close on that house. So, of course, the devil's telling me, well, you'll have to go out and find something to rent or something. And I said, no. I said, God, did you tell us we're going to live in this house in Ohio? And God said, yes. So I stood and made another declaration. And I said, this closing will go through in the morning also. And we're going to go get a hotel room and have a good night's sleep. And we're going to be back. And the deed will be here. And we will be able to close. And they said, well, she said she mailed it in the snail mail, so I don't know if that's going to work. But God did it. It was a miracle. We thanked him in all things. He worked all things out for good. And in the mid-morning, just like I said, the deed arrived in the mail. We were able to close. And get this, the movers had to drive slower than we did. And they had gotten a whole night's sleep, I think, on the road, which we did not. And they arrived right after we finished closing on the house. So we didn't hold them up by closing the next day. Neither did they get there too soon. It was all working out perfectly. The Holy Spirit had orchestrated it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'm convinced now that my studio is, and I don't know if I can open another one and talk at the same time, that my studio is all frozen up, and I'm going to attempt to see if I can open up another one. I wish I could play a song. Well, now I know everything's frozen because I can't even open another browser. So, believing that this is recording, I'll tell you a few more stories. I just love praising the Lord and being thankful, especially this week. Another thing that worked out for good, especially someone else's good, a person that was very special to me, was my neighbor in Pennsylvania. We had the kindest neighbor. And she was always there for me. She loved our dog. When I would go on ministry trips, she just considered it such a pleasure to dog sit for us. We could trust her in every way. And, you know, we didn't feel like we were inconveniencing her. And then also, she was in an alternative lifestyle. And so it was an opportunity every time to be a blessing to her, to speak into her life, and to tell her about God's love for her. Well, one day, 2 days after Christmas, my knee fell completely apart. I didn't have any warning. I'd had a couple sharp pains, but suddenly I was just on the wooden floors, just smack down on the floors. I couldn't take another step. My knee fell completely apart. And thank God I could reach my phone. And I called the sweet neighbor, and I would have still been on the floor at midnight if she hadn't come over and helped me, got me into the easy chair. and she continued to help me for weeks after that. She would come in during the day because she worked in the, at night, and help me because I couldn't take a single step. My knee was completely apart. And God was working. And I wish I could give you the end of that story. I don't know how it all ended because we moved away. But I know that during that time, she did confess to me that Jesus had appeared to her. And I had to drag it out of her because she didn't know she wanted to tell me all the details. I don't think she wanted to give up her alternative lifestyle. But I said, Jesus of Nazareth appeared to you? And she said, yes. And I said, well, you know, what did he want? She wouldn't tell me. She wouldn't tell me. But God let me know, as inconvenient as it was for me to have my knee fall apart, that it was a blessing to her, a blessing to her, and that he was able to have this encounter with her and to meet with her. And I was able to encourage her, well, if he met with you once, he'll do it again. Don't you want to invite him, you know, to come back and meet with you again? It was great. So sometimes when things work all for good, there's good in it for you, but it's also many times a blessing for the other person. Amen. Amen. I am so sorry if you all are trying to call in and can't. I'm convinced now that my studio is completely frozen up, but so is my whole browser. Thank you, Lord. Oh, well, this is working out for good. Amen. So after that, our house did sell again, and we had to move to Florida. And we were expecting to buy a house at a serious discount, and all of that fell through, and it's another time to give thanks to God, because we had waited for this short sale and waited and waited, and it didn't make any sense to us why it didn't work out. But it didn't. But God turned that around for good, because we got to live with my best friend Penny, one of my lifelong friends, for 6 or 7 months. We got to be a part of her home group. It was such a blessing. We got to make new friends at her church, and we still have those friends to this day. And so to me, that was a major working it out for good, because I got to make so many new valuable friends. And I thought that I was going to have another major breakthrough, and that was, I had had a vision for a ministry training center for 30 years and a very wealthy man decided that he wanted to make that possible, and he was going to pay for us to not only have us be able to, he was going to build a sanctuary and some video studios, not only for himself, but allow me to use all of that. And so it was going to be a major, major blessing. And I won't go into why and what all happened, but that fell through. And that was such a shock to me when it fell through, because I was just sure. You know, have you ever experienced that where you just feel sure you know how God's going to fulfill the vision or provide, or the connections that he's going to have for you, and then it doesn't work out? And you can be tempted to doubt God, or to say, God, why'd you even get my hopes up, you know, if you weren't going to do it? But I just continued to believe God that if it's his vision, he's got a way of bringing it about. And what happened was, shortly after that, God began to confirm to us that he wanted us to move back to Christian International, Lou and I both, of course. And not only did he confirm that, we realized why this association that would have given us a ministry training center for almost free, not only did we understand why that fell through, but then God had another situation that looked negative. It's just thing after thing that he's used to get these points across to me. We were going to buy a turn of the century type, well, no, it wasn't turn of the century, an older home in Dufferin Springs and just live in the area, but not at Christian International. And we put a lot of work into talking to different crews about how to fix that house up, had everything all set. And at the last minute before we could buy it, the appraisal fell through. And the appraisal didn't come anywhere near the loan that we needed to buy it. And it just fell through. So once again, it was like, God, what are you doing? You know, show me how you're going to work this out for good. Show me how I'll be thankful for this. And just coming to God in faith. And I texted Apostle Jane Hammond at Christian International, who was actually in Norway at the time. And I said, we have to be out of our home in 3 weeks. The home that we were going to buy has just fallen through. The appraisal's not good enough. And do you have something? To make a long story short, she said, yes, we do have something. We do have something even on campus here at Christian International. We would not have to commute 45 minutes. It needs a lot of fixing up. And I told her my husband can fix up anything. And so now we are in a small home. It's small, but we're in a home mortgage free. And so God, you know, he wouldn't minded us having that home where we had to commute 45 minutes. We had to do all that work to fix it up and we'd still be far away. But he knew of a way that we could have a fixer upper and be 700 feet from the church and be debt free. Hallelujah. So do you call that working things out for the best? Hallelujah. So there are other things that I want to thank God before I close tonight. Since we're having all these technical difficulties, I will try one other browser. Maybe that will work. It's going to start making noise. It looks like I'm stuck here. I'll try one more thing, and I hope somebody will call in at 917-388-4683. Nope, my whole computer's jammed up because even with another browser, I can't get anywhere, so I better get back to at least this old stale one. Let me tell you a couple more stories and I'll let you go. I want to express my thanks for you listeners because a couple Christmases ago, I was complaining about my computer then too. I guess I'm going to have to take it in and get it tuned up. But it actually died. I mean, it was gone. It wouldn't turn on at all. I knew this was it. And so I was able to do another program with a cell phone or something. And I told the listeners that I'm not going to be able to continue doing radio because I have to be able to see the studio in order to take callers. Unless you all can buy me a laptop because I just don't have the money. You know, a lot of what I do for you all is free. And I can only do the prayer counseling with a couple people a month. And I just don't have the money. And you listeners came through. And I was able to get a super duper Asus that I'm still using that can, it's large, it's roomy, you know, strong, and it can do most anything you need a computer to do. And I'm just so thankful for all of you. And I wish I could have heard your stories tonight. Probably a whole bunch of you have a story kind of like this one where I was in a restaurant and was waiting 45 minutes for my dinner. I could have gotten irritable or aggravated. I could have been short with a server. But instead, you know, I probably just ask, does it usually take 45 minutes? And the manager came out and offered us, gave us his business cards and offered us two free meals. So I want to say that sometimes when you choose to be thankful in all things, that God is able to bless you double or triple because of your kind, loving attitude. I don't know who dropped the ball on that, but I didn't have to. I just had to be an expression of the love of Christ. Amen. Amen. So I just wanted to throw that in as a kind of an exhortation that sometimes it's a smaller thing like that. It's not as big as a house purchase falling through. It's not as big as not being able to go to college or school, or not as big as losing your job, or not as big as losing your marriage. But whatever size it is to you, whether it's causing you to be tempted to sin or to be disappointed or disillusioned or to doubt God or even condemn yourself thinking it's all your fault, we can let our first line of action be to say, God, help me to be thankful in all things. And we could have done this whole program tonight on being thankful for blessings. I would certainly encourage you to make lists. And this Thanksgiving, don't just give it 5 minutes at the Thanksgiving table if each person is sharing a blessing or something. That's good. But in your own private time, make your list. This time, I made a list of the things that I was thankful for, even though it looked very negative. Okay? I've made lists of my blessings before, and we don't want to forget God's blessings ever. But stretch a little bit and make your list of things that you, you know, situations that God used to teach you, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, to be thankful. In everything, give thanks. Maybe not for everything, but in the midst of everything, to give thanks, because you know He is expressing His love toward you. He's got a way already figured out how to work it out for good. He's called you, and He's conforming you to His image. And just trust Him. Just trust Him. Now, I don't know that I can play my closing song. It looks like not. It looks like everything is circling on my laptop. I'm hoping that it will at least let me turn this off. I may have to just hang up on you. But know that I'll be thinking about you this Thanksgiving and always, and praying that you'll have a very blessed Thanksgiving. But whether things go smoothly or not, especially if you've got a family reunion, just remind yourself going in, I choose to give thanks in everything. Amen. I believe God is working everything out for good, and that I am called according to His purpose, and He loves me. I choose to give you thanks ahead of time. Bless you, bless you. And I hope you'll join us next time and pray for my computer. I hope I can find a solution. Pray that you'll invite a friend to join us next time. Pray that you'll share this program. And even though we've kind of stumbled along here, I believe there's a lot of encouragement in it, and you'll just share this with others. Some of you may want to check out our ministry training school at nowfaith.tv. Listen to 4 years of audios and videos and read the handouts and prayers there. You can get a whole lot of healing and freedom for free. You can go to our original website at crosswalklife.com and use the search box to search over 200 healing articles there. Or if you already know you'd like to sign up to be mentored or to have Restoration Prayer Ministry, you can go to restorationprayerministry.com, our simple sign-up site, and see how to make reservations to receive Restoration Prayer Ministry one-on-one for yourself. But I hope to hear from you soon. Hope you'll join us next week, and hope you'll bring a friend. Happy Thanksgiving.